Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
I was praying into it and it's so good. It's so good that we're doing this series because we are diving into the Word to discover the power of the Holy Spirit beyond signs and wonders. You know, yes, through the Holy Spirit, we have miracles, we have manifestations, we have moments of encounter in our gatherings, and that is absolutely important, beautiful, and we need this in our gatherings, we need this in our faith. But oftentimes, if we don't have a full understanding of what a Spirit-led life looks like, if we don't have a full understanding of the Holy Spirit, we misuse the Holy Spirit, we misunderstand Him, and oftentimes we put Him in a box, we limit Him, and we basically just use the Holy Spirit as a means or a tool in our ministry rather than our foundation for identity and transformation. I was reading this book, Kevin DeYoung, in his book, The Hole in Our Holiness. I recommend that you read this. The Spirit sets us apart in Christ so that we might be cleansed by His blood, definitive sanctification, just a little bit of study for us. And He works in us, this is the Holy Spirit, so that we can be obedient to Jesus Christ, progressive sanctification. So that settles it. The Holy Spirit not only performs signs and wonders through us, but He also affirms our identity in Jesus. The Holy Spirit affirms that we are children of God. He is our seal. He is our mark. He is our inheritance. And He confirms that we are children of God. Not only that, but He also works in us so that we can be obedient. This is progressive sanctification. So the Holy Spirit actually helps us to live out our faith, to live out in obedience. So if we say that we have Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit in us, we cannot stay the same. Our willful sinning, our willful fleshy desires, if that is stronger, then we have to go back to our encounter with Jesus so that we can be filled by the Holy Spirit, because we cannot stay the same. And that's what it means to live a Spirit-led life. It's so good to have all these experiences, and that is absolutely important. But that will work itself out once this is worked out, once our identity is worked out. So I encourage all of us to be present over the next 9 weeks. And if you miss it, it will be on the podcast. Just so we can be encouraged, so that we can love our faith, love Jesus, and embrace the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, our focus as we kick off our upward relationship with our God, our focus is how today is how the Holy Spirit will empower our relationship with the Father. We will be reading from John 4, 1 to 26, where Jesus reveals that true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I'm going to pray. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You are the object of our worship. You are our focus. You are the center. You are the goal. You are the beginning and you are in the end and you are in between and you are right here, right now. Thank you for your presence. Our Heavenly Father, we just worship you and we love you in this place. And as we study your word, as we dive into Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well, I pray that you encounter us in this moment. I pray that we fall more and more in love with you so that we can embrace what it's like to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I just rebuke any distraction in the name of Jesus. Anything that is not from you, I declare that it leaves this place in the name of Jesus. And I just declare the peace of God that passes all understanding to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I pray for this peace to flood our hearts right now, flood our minds, that we can receive your word. We bless you, we praise you, we honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to title this message, Heart of Worship. Does anyone know the song, Heart of Worship? How does it go? I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's such a classic. How old was I when I first heard it? I was only 12 when I first heard this song. We would sing it in church. And who here remembers their youth days? We get really emotional at youth, guys. Pure, I don't know, you're from a different generation. But back then, there's this thing called being emo. And I was one of those because I would cry a lot. And it's so funny because Levi, we were chatting, we were looking back at our old photos when we were in high school. And we would say, oh, there's no way in ever that we would have liked each other at the time because we were two different people. He would call me a pug, he called me emo, but that was, I don't know, it was a phase. It was a phase. I will not show you photos, but we can chat later. But at the time, this song would just touch my heart. Oh my gosh, it's not about me. I'm coming back to the heart of worship and it's all about Jesus. And that was the time when, you know, we were going through relationships, going through school, going through family problems. But when you go to youth, you're like, man, I can be myself with my friends. And then we'd hear the word and then this song plays and you'd be like, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. It's one of those moments. But I'm titling this message Heart of Worship because the heart of what we do is Jesus. And for us to have a relationship with the Father, it has to be through Jesus. Jesus said it himself, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the truth of the matter as well is for us to have the Holy Spirit, we have to have Jesus. And for us to know the truth, we have to have Jesus. So we, as much as we want the Holy Spirit, we got to go to Jesus. As much as we want to hear the truth, we got to go to Jesus. As much as we want to get closer to the Father, we got to go through Jesus. There is just no other way but Jesus. That's why he is at the center. And the whole Bible from beginning to end points to Jesus. If any gospel tells you otherwise, rebuke it and go back to the word. Go back to the truth. Go back to Jesus. It's all Jesus. And I love the Gospel of John because it's all about revealing Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. Here we find signs about his divinity, his identity as God. Here we find his I am statements. Here we find the greatest revelation of love, which is John 3:16. We always say it at kids' church. You get a start if you can memorize it, if you can say it. John 3:16. And so many truths about Jesus' identity. The whole purpose of John's gospel is summarized in John 20, verse 31. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And that is the truth. In other words, John is giving his readers signs to believe that Jesus is the one. Jesus is the fulfillment of every promise spoken by the prophets. And one of those promises is that he will make all things new. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And as we read through John, you will see the new things that the Lord is revealing to his people. Just straight away in chapter 1, new relationship. John reveals that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Instead of us coming to God, God himself came to us and met us. We also read about the new baptism and we sang about it today. When Jesus was baptized in water, the Holy Spirit descended on him. Matthew 3:11 says this, and it affirms that through Jesus, we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then we move on to chapter 2, new temple. When Jesus cleansed the temple, he declared that the temple will be destroyed and rebuilt. Verse 29 says this, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus here is actually referring to his death and resurrection. In Jewish tradition, the temple is the epicenter of worship. But Jesus is saying here, He is the true Jerusalem temple. He is the way to meet and commune with the Father. We get to chapter 3, the encounter of Jesus with Nicodemus. New birth. He reveals that it is not your racial identity that assures your place in God's kingdom. Jesus says in verse 5, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And in chapter 4, which is our main passage, new worship. Jesus reveals to the woman at the well that worship is not a matter of where, but of who. In verse 23, Jesus says this, but the hour is coming and now is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. So let's read the passage together. It's going to be a great word. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that you are saying, who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water." The woman said to her, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come to here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman said, answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our father worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Wow, such a word. And if you guys watch the series, The Chosen, there was an episode about the woman at the well, and I bawled my eyes out. I am not a crier. I was a crier at youth, but not anymore. But when it comes to movies, Pastor Levi is the biggest crier. Sorry, I'm exposing here again. But when it comes to Jesus and meeting this woman at the well, I was just bawling my eyes out. I could not stop crying. Love you. But it's so beautiful because the woman encountered Jesus and Jesus just revealed himself to this woman. And not only that, there is this deep spiritual truth that Jesus is revealing firsthand to this woman. And this is the truth that we are standing on today. We are people who are worshiping Jesus. We are worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. Who believes that today? We are worshiping our God in spirit and in truth. As what I've said earlier, we have Jesus. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit and you receive His truth. That means that we today worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's the people that the Father is looking for. Just put your hand on your heart and say, God, I'm so grateful that you found me. He actually found us. He's looking for us. And when we said yes to Jesus, the rest is history. And, you know, there's so many more that God can do through you. And the more you just obey and just cling to Him and abide in Him and just love Him, greater things will come. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has in store for those who love Him. And in this passage, when we're talking about the heart of worship, there are three things that Jesus reveals. It's number one, Jesus encounters us. Jesus encounters us. He had to pass through verses 4 to 9. He had to pass through Samaria. He came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, a field that Jacob had given his son Joseph, Jacob's well. It was about the sixth hour from the get-go church. Jesus went there to meet with this woman. This woman had a meeting with Jesus. She didn't know that, but Jesus did. There was a divine appointment. And at that time, the sixth hour was the heat of the day. That was the hottest day, part of the day. And Jesus specifically went there. Not only that, it was also a route that the Jewish people would avoid because, as we can see, the Samaritans and the Jewish have nothing to do with each other. So Jesus specifically went there to meet with this woman. So, church, Jesus is specifically wanting to meet with us. What is that appointment time? You know it in your heart. You know when is that appointment. And some of us may feel like, oh, God, let me just sort out my heart first. I'm feeling a bit weary from work, or I kind of struggled here and there, or I'm just too tired. Let me just wind down. Let me just doom scroll for a little bit. But just know that Jesus is already waiting because you have that appointment with Him. So just know that He will encounter you. Just get up and go. You may feel like you don't want to. Just get up and go and meet with Him. And in just a few words, give me a drink. In just a few words, Jesus reveals that He is above the gender, racial, and religious divide of that time. The woman says, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Not only was she from Samaria, she was also a woman. And he was a rabbi, and there's just that divide. Back then in that culture, you can't just talk to a woman, let alone her being alone. And the issue with the Samaritans and Jewish people go way back the time of 2 Kings, because when the kingdom of Israel was divided in two, the northern kingdom was taken over by Assyria, a foreign nation, and this is where Samaria is. A lot of the Jewish tribes have left the area, but a few remained. And the few that remained intermarried. They married other nations, other cultures, and they welcomed all these things. And that was a big no-no to the Jewish tradition. That's why they were thought of as half-breeds, impure, unclean. And there's just this great divide in culture, in people, and it was a horrible time between the Samaritans and the Jewish people. The Jewish people, you're not Jewish, but the Samaritans saying, yes, we are. We have these Jewish roots. But you know what? None of that mattered to Jesus. Yeah. He needed the woman to know who He is and what's in store for her. Yeah. Jesus will encounter us. He wants us to know who He is and what He has in store for us. So there is no barrier that He cannot break. If you are willing to respond to that call, He will minister. You may feel like, oh, I don't pray well. I don't really sound well. That doesn't matter. Meet with him. Oh, I'm just a new Christian. I don't know much about the Bible. That doesn't matter. Meet with him. He will encounter you. He will meet with you. Oh, English is my second language. I'm not the best speaker, but I'm going to go and obey God because I want to be with him. Be like, oh, I messed up. I made a mistake, or I have this past. Doesn't matter. As we know in the gospel, Christ looked after that on the cross. So come and meet with him. He will encounter us. And we saw in chapter 1, the word who was in the beginning dwelt among us. Why? Because he wants to be with us. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with me. And that is such a beautiful truth. Other religions have, oh, you have to appease your God. You have to do this. You have to do that. But God's like, I will come and meet with you and I will wait. That's how beautiful our God is. How incredible is that? And the second thing that we have to know about Jesus and worship is that it's Jesus who gives us the Holy Spirit. In verse 10 and 5, let's read together. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So you have nothing to draw water with. This woman is probably like, you are insane. How are you going to get water if you don't have a bucket? It's crazy because in John chapter 3, I was like asking God at the same time, because on his encounter with Nicodemus, Jesus was saying, you have to be born again, born of water and born of spirit. And Nicodemus is like, huh, how do I go back to my mother's womb as an adult? And I was like, valid response, to be honest with you. With that knowledge of what we have now, and if I were Nicodemus, I was probably going to say the same thing. How am I going to be born again? But in John 3:31, it says this, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. So at the time, they had no revelation of heavenly things. They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. They didn't have the Spirit's mind. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, so that we can understand the heavenly things, the things that Jesus is saying. The woman didn't understand that. But today, because we have the Holy Spirit, we understand what Jesus is saying. And there is so much more that we can understand the more we read into the word. I love that at face value it sounds ridiculous, but the more you read and the more you lean in and realize that the Holy Spirit is in us and working in our hearts and minds, we understand, wow, you're actually talking about something much deeper here, much deeper. And that's what Jesus is exactly doing here. The woman took Jesus' words literally, because the woman could only see her physical need, but Jesus responds to her spiritual needs. Oftentimes we come to God for our physical needs, but he gives us something better. He addresses the matter of the heart. This week, that's why I was praying for peace, because I was so anxious about work. I was struggling. I was talking to Levi about this week, because I thought, man, I'm ready this week. I've got the peace of the Lord. And then suddenly, this week, all these things just came right at me. And I'm like, whoa, Lord, where is this peace? You said I have peace. And then I felt the Lord say to me, you're confusing peace with feeling good. Peace is the invitation to trust in me, regardless of the situation that you're facing. So that's what the Lord does. You know, you ask for one thing, but it's like, God, why? I need money, but he asks you to give to offering or give to money to someone, give money away to someone. Like, God, I need money. Why are you asking to give away the money that I need? But oftentimes he just comes through because he invites us to something better, better than ourselves, better than our situations, better than our physical need, because we know that he will take care of that. We have to know that he will take care of that, and he will also take care of our physical needs. He gives us something better. The woman here asked for water, but Jesus is offering the living water, the Holy Spirit. At the time, people then had no relationship with the Holy Spirit. They were spiritually thirsty. Bible Dictionary says this about spiritual thirst: the deep innate longing within the human soul for relationship with God and the fulfillment that only He can provide. It also reveals the human condition of separation from God due to sin. It highlights our insufficiency of worldly pursuits and pleasures to satisfy the deepest need of the soul. In other words, it's saying we try to fill that hole with other things, but we must know that that emptiness, that hunger, that thirst can only be filled by God. Yeah. Jesus promises spiritual satisfaction. John 7, 37, 38. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit who quenches our spiritual thirst. The best part is the living water never runs out. There's this prophecy in Zechariah 14:8. It says this: on that day, living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea and half of them to the western sea. It shall continue in summer as in winter. And you know, it's crazy because in that prophecy, out of Jerusalem will flow living waters. And in Jerusalem is a temple. And we discussed earlier that Jesus is the true Jerusalem temple, meaning that He is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Jesus will give us that living water. He is the source of the Holy Spirit. He is our source of spiritual satisfaction. As what I've mentioned earlier, it is the Holy Spirit that affirms our identity. It's the Holy Spirit that affirms and strengthens our obedience. That's why it's all about Jesus. But it's the next bit of this passage is that Jesus does not stop or ridicule the woman, saying, "Why are you not getting this?" Jesus kept going. He continues to minister to her to reveal the truth. And my third point about worship, Jesus reveals the truth. In verses 16 to 26, I'll just read a little bit of it because it's quite long. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." And then I asked the Lord, that is such a curveball, Jesus. You were talking about living water, and now you've asked her to bring her husband. And Jesus, we know Jesus has all wisdom. He has knowledge and understanding because He's God. He knows everything. So why did you ask that? Were you trying to expose this woman? Were you trying to shame this woman? Were you trying to reveal her past? And then the Holy Spirit told me, no, it is to reveal the truth about Jesus, that He is the Messiah. Because in the next verse, the woman said this, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." She must not have felt shame at the time, because instead of saying, "Oh, how did you know that about me?" But instead she said this, "I perceive that you are a prophet." Worship takes away the attention away from ourselves, who we are and what we have done. Our gaze becomes towards Jesus. We focus on the truth about who He is. God is not saying that we ignore our situation and what we're going through. No, God wants us to realize that He is bigger. The truth about Him is bigger. The things that He has in store for us is bigger. His salvation is bigger than our sin. His blessings are bigger. There's so many promises that are much bigger than what we're going through, that what we have done, the doubts that we have about ourselves. He is bigger. Isaiah 48 says this, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever." If He says that you are redeemed, you are redeemed. If He says that you are forgiven, you are forgiven. If He says that you are free, then you are free. Whoever the Son set free is free indeed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And for this woman, it's slowly coming together. Could this be the Messiah? But the thing is, you have to understand, church, that at that time, their Bible, their scripture is only the first five books. They didn't have the prophets. They didn't have the Psalms. They didn't believe in all that. They only trusted in the first five books. So the only revelation of the Messiah for them was found in the first five books. And it was actually in Deuteronomy 23 when it says that there will be a greater prophet coming out that is greater than Moses. So for her to recognize that Jesus is a prophet, it's like, ooh, is this the Messiah that the scripture is talking about? Is this the Messiah? But the problem is, but he's Jewish. And Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. And there is this divide as to where people should worship. She said this to Jesus. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. So what? I'm a Samaritan. I can't even go to your place of worship if you are the Messiah. But Jesus declares, this one is so good because it was so plain. It was so direct and straight to the point. And he says this, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. Church, we are so blessed that we don't have to travel to Jerusalem to worship God. We don't have to go to a different country to worship God. You don't even have to wait till Sunday to worship God. You can do it wherever you are, as soon as you wake up, when you finish work, when you're feeling lonely, when you're feeling sad, when you're feeling really sick, when you're feeling really doubtful, you can go and worship God. And guess what? He will meet you there. If you're feeling low in the Holy Spirit of His presence, He will fill you up because that flow is a living water. It never ends. And He will reveal the truth to us. And that is our Jesus. That is our Jesus. Jesus even said this, that although salvation came from the Jews because He was Jewish. And we can talk more about that in our life groups about Jesus and His salvation that He has brought. But this is not a cause for division. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. If I could just invite the band. Jesus saying there is no longer a divide. It's not that you're not welcome because of your ethnic background or your history or because you're a woman or because of what you've done in the past or your version of the scripture or our version of worship or the numerous version of worship or my thoughts about this or your thoughts about that. No, there are many versions and opinions about worship, but Jesus reveals the truth and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Worshiping God is not centered on an ethnic group, on a specific temple, or a squeaky clean social status. Worshiping God is centered on Jesus. Why? Because He encounters us. Jesus has encountered me at my lowest point, and I wouldn't be here today if I didn't meet Him, if I didn't receive His Spirit, if I didn't know the truth about Him and about the promises that He has for me. It's not our version of worship that He's looking. He is looking into our heart. And that heart is our longing for that relationship, that longing, that thirst that can only be satisfied by the living water that is given to us by Jesus. And it's so good. The woman saying, oh, she's explained this, but she was still doubting, said, the Messiah is going to come and He will explain everything. Jesus said this, I who speak to you am He. I who speak to you am He. And in the rest of that passage of that chapter, He goes around the town telling everyone, come meet the man who had told me everything that I have done. Could this be the Christ? Instead of feeling shame about his past, her past, she was saying, come meet this prophet, meet this Jesus. Could he be the Christ? And many have come to believe. Many Samaritans, verse 39, from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Church, what is your testimony? Tell me about your testimony. Watch what that testimony can do to the rest of your sphere of influence at your workplace, in your family, and wherever you are, because that testimony will bring glory to God. And this is the heart of worship. This is the heart of worship. This is the worship that the Father is seeking. Worship that is grounded on no one else but Jesus, the source of living water and the truth. Why don't we stand? You know, I go back to Jesus calling the woman, come bring your husband. And the woman's like, I have no husband. And then he reveals the truth. And I feel like some of us are afraid of coming to Jesus because we come face to face with our brokenness. We come face to face with our failures, with our weaknesses. But today he wants you to come, and he wants you to know that there is no shame in him. He will take that shame away from you. There is no condemnation. He has taken that condemnation, actually. He's actually taken that condemnation. You feel dirty? Let me take that dirt. He has taken all that. He wants you to come, and he wants you to see that he loves you. He's done all these things because he loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and whoever believes will have everlasting life. He will not perish, but will have eternal life. And we're going to sing a song, and if you feel like you've withheld from meeting Jesus because of your background, your past, and you feel like, oh, I haven't been really living a spirit-led life. I've been living my own way. I've failed here, and I'm just waiting to sort myself out. Just come. Wherever you are, just come and worship him. And just know that he will meet you, he will feel you, and he will reveal the truth to you. Let's worship.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.